engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Neil Armstrong reporting the roll and pitch program, which puts Apollo 11 on a proper heading.
Active FM, thank you so much for being here with us today. Of course, this is The Void Show, and another week, of course, for another new episode on The Void Show. And really, today I'm so excited because you surely have seen what we're speaking about, and I'm excited because you are here because you want to learn new stuff, right? You're here because you want to learn new stuff. Now, remember that learning, as we always say, it's not a spectator sport. And so today on The Void Show, I'm joined by the one and only Mr. Andrew Shakin. Mr. Andrew, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm very glad to be on the on your show. Because as I said, I've had guests from South Africa.
It's beautiful.
Who have taken positions that the society there has some difficulties. Of course, every society, because people have, it's human nature that's the issue, I suppose, in every system. And that's really the root of the root of all evil, you might say. You could say.
You know. Now, I'm quite impressed by your resume. I think you have such a long and extensive resume. You have a degree in theology, isn't it?
I do. Yes, I do.
Tell us more about that.
Well, I have served as a Lutheran pastor, and I'm not doing that right now. But I am very much involved in that kind of thinking.
Yeah.
Of course, I always find room for other points of view.
Yeah.
But I am a Christian, and I. It means things to me, perhaps, for example, for me, Christianity is non-racial. A non-racial system. It's a non-sexual system. It really is. Those who espouse racial distinctions or sexual distinctions are not understanding the faith of Christ.
Yeah, right.
I don't think so. Of course, an example would be the parable of the Good Samaritan or the Centurion Servant, where he tells us that if you're looking for the truth about people, look to that person.
Yeah.
The Samaritan of that time was an outcast in Palestinian Jewish circles.
Hmm.
And so you might say that person would be equivalent today to a drug dealer, maybe.
Yeah.
Or something like that. You know, a homeless person.
Hmm.
That person that Christ is referring to in the parable of Good Samaritan, that would you if you're going to equate it, that's who you might want to equate it with in today's society.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he was talking about.
Great. So I mean, you just mentioned one thing, one very important thing that I think you've been a pastor before. So how did that come about? You know, and I want us to speak maybe about a matter of a calling again. How did your journey go as a pastor?
Could you please? I'm not sure I'm understanding what you're asking me.
I mean, like your journey as a pastor in the ministry. Can you tell us more about
the ministry?
That?
Well, my family was involved in the church. My sister teaches theology at a Catholic school. She's Lutheran, me, but she teaches in a Catholic school and theology. And my mother was a regular. Of course, I suppose you might say, what was your name again?
Andrew, that's my name.
Andrew. Okay, we're both Andrews.
Andrew,
you might say that I was indoctrinated into the church, I suppose.
Yeah.
Going to Sunday school or going to seminary. My mother was a father, were churchgoers.
Yeah.
So that is the background that I was sort of indoctrinated with. I guess indoctrinated is maybe it's the wrong, it has a word that has negative connotations, but it may be true. Just like if you were a Marxist at the time of the turn of the century in Russia, that was a, by the way, I have a certain attraction to Marxism.
Hmm.
I have a certain, I mean, socialism.
Yeah.
I have a certain, a certain truth to it, you know?
Yeah.
That it tries to, socialism and Marxism, maybe they don't work too well.
Hmm.
I grant you that on a practical basis. But they do, on paper, they try to improve things. They try to equalize to give everybody a job, everybody a chance at education. They try to equalize income. And to me, inequalities of income are not good. Mm. I don't think class inequalities or class distinctions, I don't find them particularly helpful.
Okay, that's great. But I can also see that, you know, you've written quite a lot of books. I'm looking on your website right now, and I see some are about parables of Jesus, right? You know,
right.
Jesus used parables to teach things. So do you want to tell us maybe a lot more about your written books?
Well, I've written a number of books, and I'm writing more. I just completed a book on the Psalms. At this point, I have posted my interpretation. I did write a book on the parables.
Yeah.
And I posted 41 of these parables, my interpretations, on my website and social media.
Yeah.
And I'm also posting gradually the sayings of Christ, my interpretations of these sayings, on my social media and website. I also wrote a book called Essays on the Christian Worldview, which is actually sold quite well.
Yeah.
Four Dutch universities, a university in Germany, and the entire University of California system. That book has done very well. The other ones, Essays on Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, not as well as Essays in the Christian Worldview.
Yeah.
But people have bought it, you know.
Great. Okay, I don't know if you're going to hear me very well because it's really raining in South Africa right now. But are we still okay? Can you hear me without the rain?
I can hear you.
Okay, great.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
We are joined today by Mr. Andrew Shatkin, all the way from New York. So right after this, we will be back with him to speak about the current world. Make sure that you stay tuned.
The most amazing presenter.
For all your favorite shows.
It's all on XFM.
Radio has never been better.
Thanks again. And of course, I did say that we are joined by Mr. Andrew Shatkin, and we are speaking about the world today. Mr. Andrew, I'm Andrew as well, and welcome to the show again.
Thank you.
Okay, so, you know, we're speaking about the world today. And I would guess that, you know, you've been around for quite some time to differentiate between the past world and the modern world, like the current world.
Right.
What would you say about the topic, like the world today?
The world today?
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe the world today is much different from any other time.
Huh.
The problems are similar. For example, in the past, for a long time, people had slaves.
Yeah, yeah.
A long time. In the Roman Empire, they had slaves. Of course, in America, there are slaves. There are slaves in the Caribbean islands. So the world today, there are just different manifestations of the problems. And the problem is, I think the problem is today and in all times.
Hmm.
Problems are things like selfishness and greed. People aren't, I think, I include myself, Andrew, I include myself in these statements. People are self-driven.
Yeah.
And selfish and devoted to themselves. I believe that's true, don't you?
I believe so. Yeah, of course.
And so that's the problem.
Yeah.
And also another problem, certainly in the capitalist system, one of the, I think, what I draw the line in terms, I'm a capitalist. I believe in free enterprise, you know. But I also recognize that capitalism, and the world today is driven by greed.
Hmm.
People want things as much as they can get for themselves. They want that new car. They want those designer shoes. Whatever they want, they want.
You know,
and that's what drives people.
Yeah, I think that's great because, you know, you just mentioned a very important thing like slavery, right? In the past, there was slavery.
Well, that was it. That was commercial. See, that had to do, that was the root of that system was it was cheap labor and and enabled people to make more money for themselves without paying help.
So I was just reading a book the other day, and, you know, it also speaks about, like, slavery in the past and now. And what the author said was that, like, right now, if you can look, that, like, it's more of a mental slavery than a physical slavery.
Yeah.
But what can you say about that? Yeah.
Well, I think there's truth in it. I think that people, and I think the media, Andrew, has far too much influence on people's thinking. Far too much. As a matter of fact, I hate to say this, but I mean, I don't want to say that people don't think or can't think.
Yeah.
But there is less, I think there is less critical thinking than a few years ago. And I think it's caused by this media blitz.
Wow.
I think so. I mean, I'm not saying that it's the left wing or right wing, but in general, we are bombarded by the media with political slogans. I have no reason to believe those things. Why should I? Political slogans have to do with politicians getting money and power.
Yeah.
Why should I be concerned about that?
No, I really do agree with you. I do really think that, you know, media has such a huge impact on our lives today. Because
do you believe it has fried people's brains?
I think
In a sense?
I think so. Because, you know, we kind of like are programmed to what we should think. You watch TV.
That's right.
You don't really get to choose what you want to watch. And so I think we really are programmed in some other way or the other one. So I think that's really great. So how about science? Like science?
The science has improved. I have to say science has improved people's lives.
Of course, yeah.
And medicine.
Yeah.
Science is good. It tries to get at the truth. For example, science, as I say, science enables us to eliminate certain faulty forms of thinking, such as, such as sexual differences. Now, I'm not sure, and I suppose there's differences between males and females.
Of course.
But not to me. I mean, I have women friends, and they're friends. Yeah. I don't really make an issue of their being female. I don't think it is an issue to you.
Yeah. No.
I mean, is it?
I don't think so. I mean, if I get what you're saying, you mean like you've got women friends with you?
But... friends, and then, you know, they just are people.
Yeah.
I mean,
I want to speak about science and Christianity, and I would agree that you also are Christian, right?
I am a Christian, and I do adhere to the biblical authority of Holy Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. I do.
Yeah, yeah. And this is kind of like a challenge. I want to challenge you with something.
Okay.
because, you know, when we look at in the scientific world, especially on the things that have been discovered, I could agree with you when you say that science does, you know, it's very helpful to us
because it is helpful.
What it does. But I could say in particular technology, right? Because we see that it helps our lives and it really makes things so faster in our lives. But in science, I could speak about astronomy, the field of astronomy, maybe cosmology, where they would try to describe the origin, the evolution, and eventually the fate of the universe.
Okay.
So what do you think about those kind of theories and what the Bible really does say? Do you think that there could be a difference, or maybe it's just another point of view? Just share with us your thoughts on that.
Okay. I have to look at the biblical revelation, and the position I take is it's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
Take something like the creation story in Genesis.
Okay,
first of all, it's gradual.
Yeah.
We are presented with a gradual sequence, which tallies with the theory of evolution, that there is a gradual process. But I do think that having looked at the world, looked at myself, looked at other people, I believe there is a cause for all events. When I look at you, I know you're there because you caused yourself to be there. You have a body because there was a causation factor.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you. I'm looking at a couple of bookshelves, and these shelves got here, and the people who wrote those books, there was a causation. Yeah. So I don't find the story of the version of the biblical events totally out of court. I do think that there's a cause for everything. I don't believe the world came out of nothing.
Of course.
Nothing comes out of nothing. There is nothing that I know of in this world that comes out of nothing. But somebody caused it. I don't know who. I don't know how it happened. But there was a causation event.
Yeah.
In that sense, the Bible is true.
Mm.
Another aspect, I think it's true, and I think it has a lot of answers a lot of questions for me, is the fall story in Genesis 2. Now, that fall story to me is extremely significant. Because I know, Andrew, I hate to say this, that we're living in an evil world.
True.
We are living in a world which is run by, I don't know if the term is evil, I guess that's a way to put it, is run by forces that are selfish, self-interested, as I said, and I suppose they are, in a sense, evil.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who looks at the world, there have been six genocides in the last 100 years.
Yeah, right.
You're telling me the world is good and people are good. I'm sorry. I don't believe that. I look at what people do to each other. You know what people do to each other.
True.
And I don't believe people are particularly good. And therefore, the Genesis story sets about to explain how we got into this situation.
Yeah.
It provides a reasonable explanation that I think one of the root causes that story provides the answer for me is pride. The allegory or what happened there, whatever you just might believe happened there, something happened. And God is telling us that something went wrong. It was not meant to be, this world was not meant to be this mess. That's really what they're saying in Genesis 2.
Yeah.
They are saying, it is the author or the writer is saying that that Adam and Eve were tempted they were told you'd be like gods. So there was an appeal, an unfortunate appeal, Andrew, which is the problem of every human being in this world to their pride.
Yeah.
They thought they'd be important. Hmm. People want to be important, don't they?
True, yeah.
So that was the issue that Genesis 2 provides the answer as to how this terrible situation in the world came about. Hmm. And I describe it as terrible because it is.
It is terrible, yeah.
I mean, it's a world where people beat each other. They do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
They push people out of their jobs. So the person can't earn a living.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things people do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't find human nature. I'll tell you, Andrew, I know this sounds not a happy thing to say. And many people in the modern world may disagree with me.
Yeah.
And may say otherwise. But when I look at the world, and I see what goes on, I say, this world is misguided and went wrong somewhere.
Hmm.
I don't know why exactly. Why do people do these things to each other? You got an explanation?
I'm actually going to refer to what your. I think I was listening to some of your shows that you did. I think it's with Neil. And, you know, as a Christian, I would really say it's a sin. You know,
what in what sense?
We live in a world where everyone has got something to say. Everyone wants to, you know, I was speaking about this in my previous show, that it's a world where it's full of opinions.
It's
full of opinions.
But do you believe that because someone has an opinion and who has no knowledge or thought to back up that opinion, is that opinion worth anything?
No. Of course, that's why I'm saying it's an opinion, right? They could have something to back up their opinion. And my question was actually, in a world like this, how do you then now say you've got knowledge? Because you go on a search engine, literally in 3 seconds, you've accumulated all these opinions everyone has got to say. And
that's
so
right.
In a world like this, how do you then now say you've got knowledge? And you know, as we all say, knowledge is power. Then you regard that knowledge as being powerful, you know?
Well, all I can say is I look at myself and I realize that there are many people in many work, in the work they do in the world today, they really know quite a bit more about things than me. There are people in chemistry that are knowledgeable. I am not knowledgeable in chemistry. I don't know anything. Therefore, my opinion in that field is worthless. I don't have the ability or genius of Albert Einstein. Therefore, his opinion on relativity and science is worth something. My opinion in that area, I'm just being honest, Andrew, I don't believe my opinion is particularly significant in that area. There are a lot of things I don't know, a whole host of things. I don't know about a lot of scientific areas.
Yeah.
I can't play football and make $20 million a year.
Yeah.
A lot of things my opinions are not particularly valid. And therefore, if I'm going to hear somebody's opinion, I don't believe that we should believe in someone's opinion by someone, frankly, Andrew, who's just shooting off their mouth. I mean, if that person has real hardcore knowledge in science, in literature, whatever they're doing, if they have some real significant knowledge, yes, I will listen to that opinion. That person knows something.
Yeah.
As for the people that don't know anything, do you think their opinion is worth anything?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Yeah. And yet everybody in our society, in the world today, in a democratic system, let me put it this way, Andrew. In our system in the United States, do you have a democratic system in South Africa?
Yeah, we do have one.
Well, in a democratic system, people have political equality. They have an equal voting right.
True.
But that's fine. I mean, that doesn't mean they're equal. Does it? Does it mean that person is equal intellectually? Or in thought?
No.
Or in their activities? Just because they have political equality?
That's really fine.
But that doesn't follow that everybody's opinion and thoughts and activities are equal. They're not. Are they?
No. And of course, it depends on their background as well, right? So I really don't think they could be maybe intellectually equal or somehow.
Do you believe that many people who are not really, I want to say they're not that smart, but to articulate inequality of thought, you'd have to be somewhat well-versed in thinking, correct?
Okay.
So a person who thinks that because they are equal in our political system, a person who draws that conclusion, I don't think they know what they're talking about.
Huh.
Do they?
Tell me more.
Well, I mean, as I said, political equality is fine.
Yeah.
I have the right to vote. It doesn't make me equal in thinking.
Yeah.
In what I do as a person in life, it doesn't make me equal. And therefore, I am prepared to concede the fact that many people in what they are doing have a greater quality than me. They're contributing more to the system. A scientist who is seeking to discover cures.
Yeah.
Or seeking to discover truth. There, frankly, I find that their work something that I find worthwhile. I mean, so, and that perhaps more worthwhile than many other forms of work. Well, do you find, let me put it this way. I know this sounds mean or something.
Yeah.
Do you find that a person, say, who's cleaning the street, their work is as significant as Albert Einstein?
Well, it could be significant to a certain limit, right? Because they do play roles to other people's lives. So in a life, they play something. But then to relative to Albert Einstein's work, I mean, that's pretty a huge gap in you know, the level of significance to how they contribute.
That's
in
right, how they contribute. That's right.
Yeah, great.
Do you think there's a reason why a person, say, becomes like a Jonas Salk, finds a cure for polio, and yet another person will only be able to clean the street? What, I mean, do you think there's a reason for that?
Well,
lack of talent.
You mean like a lack of talent? Well, I believe that everyone has a talent, right? And they have different ways of contributing to life. There are so many factors that could affect a person's future. You know, we cannot predict the future, but we can prepare for it, right? So to a person who ends at something else, which is different to someone else, a lot of factors that could have happened in their, you know, life or they were growing up.
Uh-huh.
Could really, you know, have a huge difference.
You're right about that.
Maybe
you think something within
they live
their
in an
family,
environment with, pardon?
Something within their family affected their ability to.
Most probably. Yeah. That's
what do you think might have affected that person's ability to get beyond a very basic level?
Well, I think, you know, there could be physical factors. Maybe like an environment that you live in. You know, I once interviewed a biological scientist, and they said that, you know, in an environment, you are affected by the environment that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not only affected mentally, but also physically. We could find that people who live in very hot areas are much more dark-skinned than others who live, you know, in... Like,
well, I don't think the color of a person. I told you, I completely reject racial distinctions.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I mean, I think it's a lie. I think it's people use race as a method of controlling, and I guess controlling.
Yeah.
Seeking control over other people.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's true. But, you know, I'm just speaking about, like, physical differences. You know, you could have a certain physical difference because of the environment that you live in, right? So, on the other hand, it could be just inherited, lack of something from, you know, generations to generation. I really do believe that. But I think racism is used to just have power over people. I don't think it really does.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
People will use race as kind of a sledgehammer.
True, very true.
Over other people.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay, great. So, what kind of music you listen to?
I like classical music.
Classical.
I like Bach. I'm a big fan of Johann Sebastian Bach.
Ah.
Big fan of classical music.
Okay.
Because people differ. I'm not prepared to say that rock music is invalid.
Yeah.
I like certain aspects of rock music. I happen to like this.
Okay.
This is a matter of what you may be attracted to, what you come to know.
That's true.
That's another factor.
That's very true.
If within your family structure, you were not introduced to this form of music, you will not know it.
Yeah. Okay, great. I wanted to play a song, and I was expecting to challenge you, but now you're challenging me. That's okay. I wasn't expecting that. So I'm just gonna play a song, and by the time you listen to this, you'll tell me if you love this song. I'm playing it just specifically.
Okay, I want to hear
especially
it
for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
So it's Active Worship Inception album. War Zone. So please do enjoy the song. And right after the song, we will be back with...
Let me put it this way, Andrew. I go to church every week. I go to a gospel church.
That's
and
cool.
I do like gospel music.
Yeah, this is the gospel music, by the way.
I do like it. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll be back speaking with Mr. Andrew Sherton right after this.
Now my heart starts to jump, my fears begin to fade, my faith explodes right now. I can't keep it in, there's a joy inside of me. You are holy, you are holy, you are holy, Jesus. Let your blood restrain all my fears and doubts. Let your glory
that was Active Worship to album Inception, of course, saying to you, War Zone. Please do get in touch with us on The Void Show Facebook page. Our handle is at The Void Show with Andrew. And I'm joined today again by Mr. Andrew Sherton, and we're speaking about the world today. So we are keen as well to hear some of your thoughts. Do check our Instagram page so that you can send in your thoughts. And yeah, I'm impressed by... our discussion here with Mr. Andrew Sherton. Welcome to the show again, Mr. Andrew.
Happy to do it. And I want, by the way,
yeah,
send me the name and a link to your show, because I will have you on my show.
That's great.
I'd be happy to have you.
I'll be happy to be there as well.
So send me a link and the name of your show.
Okay, great.
An email address, could you?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to do that after the show. Great. So I'm looking at your, I think this is one of your publications, right? It's a book you were speaking about, like civil, criminal, federal, evidentiary.
Yes, it's a law book.
You want to tell us more about that? I think it's quite interesting.
Select Legal Topics. It's a compilation. It's a fairly large book covering most areas of law in the United States: evidence, family law, criminal law, and employment law, and civil rights. I think I would look. Everybody, Andrew. Everybody wants to push their own envelope. I know that. But I think the book is a decent piece of work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Legal Topics.
Yes.
You know,
I think it's quite.
You might find it useful.
Yeah. So you wrote quite a lot of stuff. I mean, when did you start writing? Because I see also.
I've been writing I've been writing for some years now.
Yeah.
Certainly since I came out of college. I can't say. That's another thing maybe we should talk about.
Yeah.
The educational system in
Great.
The United States.
Great. I was actually
States.
Able to speak about that.
Yes, I don't think it's. There's a problem in the educational system in my country.
Yeah.
And maybe better in yours.
Why do you think so? To tell
because
you about the problems.
I have taken note that I had a sort of a person I got to know in Iran, a Muslim young woman in philosophy, and she describes to me what she does in the university.
Yeah.
And it's extremely advanced work. She's an undergraduate. It's extremely advanced work in philosophy.
Yeah.
So I come to the conclusion that in other countries, perhaps the educational system may be better than the United States. It may be so in South Africa.
Huh.
I don't know.
In terms of what? Maybe like courses the students are doing?
The courses the students are doing, the books they're reading.
Huh.
I know that I read a lot. I like to read, and I value books.
Mm.
I set a value on that activity.
Yeah.
I think books will always remain, and print will always remain, the vehicles of complex thinking.
True.
I don't think that's ever going to change.
Yeah.
So I, for example, I ran into a couple of young people in my country, conversed with them, and they had never heard of Leo Tolstoy,
I've heard of that as well.
Well, it's okay. He's a... Well, yeah. I don't want to be critical. Then I mean, look, Andrew, there's things I don't know.
Yeah.
So when I criticize someone for not knowing something.
True. I love that.
I'm aware that I don't know things.
Yeah.
And so I have no basis for criticizing.
Hmm.
So I took note that I hadn't heard of certain, I thought, basic authors. But, you know, I mean, maybe they're just doing other things. They're doing computers.
Yeah.
They're doing business.
Yeah, true.
They're not doing literature.
Yeah.
Or philosophy. These are things I like.
Yeah.
You know. But it's okay.
Huh. So, speaking of education, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that I've said about the educational system not being okay. And I actually had a guest a few months ago where we spoke about, you know, the educational system.
In the United States?
Not really, not like common to your country, but what it really does, you know, like what the educational system really does. And the challenge was that the educational system only teaches students what to do, what to
That's
say,
right.
what to know, not really how to think of these things, how to think of the evidence, how to do things, you know, only what to do. What do you say about that?
Well, I think you're right. There is less critical thinking thinking taught in the schools.
Hmm.
And I think the root of the problem is that critical thinking can only come about, my personal opinion, if you read a lot. If you don't read a lot, personal opinion, you're not going to be able to use your mind. I'm sorry. It's a fact. You will be able.
You know, there's a statement that says leaders are readers. So,
I don't think a person, unless they read books, I don't think their minds will develop. I don't think so.
Not true.
It's unfortunate, but but maybe they're doing other things. They don't have time. They have to get a job.
Yeah.
They have to, there's other factors that bring about this situation. They may be have to learn technology and science in order to get employment, and they can't do other things like I just described.
Yeah, that's true.
But on the other hand, the price of that system, this technology business system, the price of that system is the person's inability to critically think. I believe so.
No, that's true.
The price our society pays.
Yeah. So it takes us back to the point of equality again in society, right?
We want equality.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah, sure.
I think so.
Yeah.
As I said, I mean, the capitalist system does encourage or bring about this economic inequality.
Yeah.
It does. Doesn't it?
Yeah. No, it really does.
And I don't think that's good, personally. I don't particularly favor that.
Huh.
So in that sense, Andrew, I know it's going to sound like I'm some sort of communist, and I'm not. But I'm saying the socialism on paper and in theory and Marxism have their valid points. In theory.
Mm.
Maybe not in practice. I grant you that. But in theory, they attempt to equalize.
Hmm. Hmm. So, what do you think could be done maybe to, you know, bring this equality in society?
Very difficult. It's very difficult because some people in every society with the United States have greater economic advantages from their inherited wealth from their family.
Yeah, right.
Or whatever. They have innate advantages within their background. So it's very difficult to equalize.
Yeah.
And I think this is a valid point that a person who does not have a great deal of money in our society is extremely hampered.
Hmm.
I think so. I believe so.
What are some of the stats in the United States about unemployment? Do you get
some of the what?
I mean, like unemployment information in the United States.
You mean unemployment?
Yeah.
I don't know the statistics.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know that I say this, I want to be fair.
Yeah.
And I think it's true. People who are in poverty or who do not have a great deal of funds, I believe they are hampered.
Is it?
That's my opinion. I think their potential to advance in our system or in any system is very limited.
Hmm.
Well, Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I do think so. Yeah, it could be very limited, right? So to a certain extent, yeah.
It's very difficult for a person who doesn't have funds to advance in any system.
So funds could be one of the problems, right? As you just saying.
That is one of the problems. A person that, look, I say this, Andrew, I hate saying it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me happy, but people who do not have money do not get anywhere.
No,
that's my opinion. That's it.
You know, there's a statement that says, however, that poverty is a mind state. Do you agree with that?
Agree with what?
Like the statement that people usually say, you know, that poverty is a mindset.
Poverty, yes. I mean, think that there is a emotional and intellectual factor connected with poverty, but I believe the reality is that people whose family is deprived in money, I believe their lives are extremely difficult.
Yeah, especially in the current world, right?
Yeah. I think a person who does not have funds in our society.
Yeah.
I think this is the reality. Nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to say that the opportunities are there. Maybe they are. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think they are for a person who's poor?
Well, there could be. There could be some opportunities, but to a certain extent, opportunities are more given to, you know, people who have money and all stuff, who are already having things. But I think in a caring environment, in a caring leading system, then there could be opportunities for people in deprived areas. What do you think about that?
But in people in poverty who are born into poverty, their family situation and their circumstances prevent them. Those factors prevent them from getting out of that poverty.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Now, I think it's very difficult.
Yeah.
I know people want to believe the world is everybody has the same chances. I don't think so. I really
don't. True. Which also goes back to the point of environmental factors.
The environment's very important. For example, a person who's born in a poor neighborhood, their images they are presented with are images like a fancy car.
Yeah.
Having 10 girlfriends, something like that.
True.
The images of what they're offered don't help them too much.
Yeah.
Their families may be dysfunctional. The father may be a drug dealer.
True.
Those circumstances, I think, can greatly affect a person's opportunities.
No, that's very true.
To launch themselves out of that situation.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
So you spoke about philosophy a little. Do you want to speak about that a little more, maybe?
Well, I think in a certain sense, the older system of education had its points where certain authors of the past were assigned and read. It could be Charles Dickens. It could be whatever you want to name. I believe that system, in certain sense, gave people better chances. In literature, philosophy, such as Plato or Aristotle or people like that, I think knowing those people and reading them, that kind of education, which I just described in literature and philosophy, I believe raises people up intellectually. I think it does. I think people are raised up by reading those things.
Yeah.
Their minds are expanded.
Wow, that's interesting.
But as you say, I mean, people have to earn a living.
Yeah.
Can't spend time reading some ancient author. They have to be practical.
No. I mean, definitely, you know, if you want to expand your knowledge about the world you're living in, literature is a good thing. I mean, reading... It's
I think so.
Because, you know, reading someone's book is like, it's just a thing like this, but it's the knowledge of the author that they allocated all these years in their growing, and they just put it for you in a book. And so, you know, if you just read a book, you're reading someone's 1,000 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think the day that people stop reading books, which it seems to be what's happening, it appears to be what is occurring, that will bring our society down. That's my personal opinion. Or better put, it will place people in a form of intellectual darkness. That's my opinion. The day that books are not read is the day I don't want to see happen.
Do you think, like, as time goes by, like, people... stopping to write books?
We'll stop writing?
I mean, you mean like, do you think people are now stopping to write books?
I think a lot of people write books, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe more people write them than read them.
Yeah.
A lot of people write books. That's true. A lot. There's a lot of self-publishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is. There's a lot of people write books, but I'm not sure that many people read books.
Really?
That I'm not so sure of.
No, that's true, eh? I think that
the day people stop reading books, our society, first of all, the political forces will be able to manipulate people. They will be unknowledgeable. They will not have the ability, as you say, to critically think.
Yeah.
And they will be manipulated by possibly evil political forces seeking power.
So do you think...
More easily.
Do you think, like, this critical thinking skills, where do people, I mean, is there any way people can acquire the critical thinking skills?
I think, as I
say, somewhere out there that we can find.
Okay, I say this, and maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I'm willing to say I don't claim to have all answers to everything. That would be absurd.
Yeah,
I mean, because I know that many people, as I said, are smarter than me.
Yeah,
and know more in many areas.
Yeah,
Jonas Salk, Albert Einstein, for starters, and many others. Mm. Stephen Hawking, just to name a few.
Yeah,
but I do think that critical thinking and the correct thinking comes from reading good books. Yes. That I do think so.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. Okay. Today we're joined, of course, by Mr. Andrew Schadking, and we are speaking about the world today. Our discussion is very interesting. So I'm pleased to, we are keen as well to see some of your thoughts on all our social media platforms. It's at Andrew, The Void Show with Andrew on The Void Show. So please find us on Facebook there.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.